Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Build-Up at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. Your host, Mikey Bones, Rob Humphrey, and Kat Valore. What is happening, guys?
What's going on?
Not much. Happy birthday to Kat. This is Kat's birthday week. We are recording since it's after midnight on Kat's birthday.
Yeah. Yes. Happy air quotes birthday, Kat.
Thank you.
I'm not falling for this ruse. Air quotes.
Thank you.
Falling for your shenanigans. I'm pretty sure it's not today, but all right.
For the listeners at home.
Rob's like, the old birthday trick.
Yeah, your birthday's the end of October, not the 1st of November. I know that.
It's not the 1st of November. It's neither of those things.
Not the 1st, but, you know, the beginning of November. It's not, no. We passed your birthday, and now you're trying to sneak one back in on us, and I don't appreciate it.
I trick Rob with this every year.
She does, though, is the thing. It's kind of funny. All right, we got a lot to get to. We got Kat's birthday pick coming up. We'll get to that later. Yeah. We're going to be talking about rings because of one Kat Valore. We got two.
We're going to be talking about rings because of Mikey.
All right.
I may have chosen the movie, but you loaded the gun.
But you didn't have to shoot it.
I did.
Nobody
though.
Told you to shoot it. And that's the thing. I seen right before we got on to record, I opened up Twitter and I see, don't think I didn't see, because I didn't answer that. I didn't see. I seen you, the both of you, use and Chris. Where's my Chris button? Because Chris needs to be addressed for what he did.
Hell of a deal.
And you guys were blaming me. Kat, you picked this movie.
No. I committed to the bit. I had to do what I had to do. You started this, knocked over that first domino. We could have been, and we talked about this a little bit last week. I had a movie I actually really wanted to watch this week. We could have all been watching Emma Stone get naked this week, and we didn't get to have that. And it's not my fault.
That is true, Mikey.
What Kat's referring to is for anyone, for if I am sorry, if you're the first episode of this show that you're listening to is fucking Rings, my apologies, honestly. But Kat's referring to the whole ring fiasco with the Cult FM shit that you're just going to have to go back and listen. That's where it began.
That's I can wrap it up real quick. Back in January, Mikey said they were going to release an episode on The Ring. It's now November and we haven't gotten the episode on The Ring over there on Cult FM, and we're all being punished for it.
Yeah. And I was a little spiteful and I chose The Ring for my birthday pick. They're irrefutable. You can't veto them. Nothing. We have to do them. The birthday boy or girl gets to pick the movie. Rob followed up with Ring 2. Because he thought he was cute, and now here we are with Rings.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to do it, Kat.
We've had a lot of years where I've been the only one not to do a spite pick. So instead of being the bigger person this year, what I'm going to do is next year, if you guys behave, we can all watch Poor Things. We'll have a good time. It'll be a better birthday week.
Also, I don't even really view this as a spite pick. This is just commitment to the bit.
That's all thing.
It is. I know. I'm not mad at Kat about it. I am mad at you, Mikey, because you could have ended this thing fucking 10 months ago.
It was a good move. You're like, you gotta admit, that doesn't mean you guys had to do all this now. It was a good move. I stand by it.
Once Rob doubled down, there was nothing I could have done.
Yeah, she was boxed in on this one. She had to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
God damn it. All right, we have a text
and
message.
Also, if this is your first episode listening and you're listening because you really like the movie Rings, you might just want to turn it off now. We don't want another shark fizzle incident on our hands.
Thinking about shark fizzle. Yeah.
Shark fizzle, I guarantee, loves Rings. And he's going to see this and be like, you know what? I'm going to give him one more chance.
Shark fizzle and or any weird J-horror people listening to this, stay till the end. I do have a surprise for you, though. Ooh, got a fun surprise.
He's going to give it a 10.
You can be mad at me, but I request that you hear this out.
Won't be the first time she gave a 10 to a bad movie. Let's be honest.
It would be. I only give 10s to winners.
Like Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, yeah.
All right, so we have a text message and a voicemail to get to. We get to drink roll call, and then we can get into the movie. I think that's all we have lined up. All right, so what are you guys drinking?
I got a cut water transfusion.
Scary, cut water.
These are like 7% or something, 7.5%. I don't know where it is. I actually poured it out of the can into a glass. I don't know why. So I don't have it here to look, but it's like 7 or 7.5. It's not that bad.
Still, I don't trust cut water, though. This is the thing. Everybody knows. Something with gravity that they have in those cans. Weird. I am drinking Malibu. I think it's Malibu Punch in a bag.
Ugh. Oh,
nothing sounds good about any of that.
I don't know. I had a
is
drink.
Is it coconut?
Drink. No, I had a drink. It's like a fruit punch. But I had to dig into Drink Roll Call Graveyard for this one. And remember a while back, I was drinking the Malibu in a bag. And it was one of those things like the box wine. It has the little thing that you pour, it pours out of.
Oh, no, I don't remember this at all. Because I was picturing like one of those like Capri Sun things or whatever, where you got like a pouch and you punch a straw in it.
Oh, I wish. Yeah, no, I'm drinking it out of a cup, but it came from a bag. And that's the thing. It's kind of like the box wine without the box,
right?
Because inside the box,
just a bag
with a cork thing in it. That's what this is. But it, you know, it packs a little bit of a punch. It's just been sitting in drink roll call graveyard, man. So I'm breaking it out.
All right,
Pat, what's birthday girl drinking tonight?
I am drinking my second cut water.
Holy shit!
But like Rob's transfusion, it is a lower alcohol content. It's one of the I put mine into a glass because it's the Bloody Mary. And my biggest problem with the Bloody Mary last time was that I don't like drinking tomato drinks out of a can because they get that weird aftertaste. So I thought maybe they'll be better if I put them into a glass. And so far, that's been true. I put a couple of olives in there and a Slim Jim because I'm out of pepperoni. But, you know, it's almost a very classy drink.
All right. Yeah, I'm not big on Bloody Marys. I think we talked about this before, but I definitely wouldn't drink one out of a can. Like, I do like White Russians. And if I got the cut water White Russians, there's no way I would drink it out of a can. There's just something seems wrong about that.
It feels a little off.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So we do have a voicemail and we do have a text message. We're going to double up. We have a little bit of a backlog here. So we're going to double up. And plus, both of them are very timely. So they did jump the line a little bit. So anyone who sent in a text message or a voicemail, You're still in line. All right, which one to go first? Okay, you know what? Let's get this out of the way. 917-397-KILL.
Trace the call. It's coming from inside the house.
917-397-5455. You could send in a text message or a voicemail for the show. Voicemails get aired, and then we discuss them, and the text messages get read by Ghostface. So here is the text message for this week.
Hello, listeners, and happy birthday, Kat. This week's text message is from Aggie. She writes, "Hello, everybody. I come before you a truly humbled and changed woman. I found out that Cutwater's a motherfucker the hard way, and to never, and I mean never, mix other alcohol with it. When drinking Cutwater, you should only drink it by itself and have a good hearty meal beforehand. I forgot that my tolerance is not nearly what it used to be. And I got my ass handed to me Halloween night. Cutwater is now my sworn enemy, and it will continue to haunt me and try to get the better of me for the rest of my life. But I will prevail one day. I just have to be better prepared and not go in without a game plan. I will admit that Mikey holds the record, seeing as he didn't hurl his entire guts up like I did.
That's right.
3 Mai Tais and a shot of Screwball took my soul, and I will never be the same. If anyone wants proof, I will publish my Halloween stream, and you can all laugh and see how quickly it hit me in the end. I was a true embarrassment to Fortnite players and myself that night, but at least I brought some entertainment to the viewers. I am a forever changed woman. One day I will be able to conquer this enemy, but for now I must prepare for a battle that I will face another day. Heed my final warning. Cutwater is a motherfucker.
Okay.
Cutwater is dangerous. If Aggie has agreed or has tempted listeners with the footage, does that mean we get to play the button? Is the button fair game?
No, I'll play that motherfucker with Marley. Yeah. Okay. I was playing with Aggie. Yeah. Aggie was recently on our Ice Nine Kills episode, friend of the show, patron, all that stuff. I love Aggie, right? So I was playing with Aggie on her stream that night, and it was Halloween night, and, you know, it was all spooky, and they were cosplaying, well, costumes, I guess, for Halloween night. And it was going great, right? Everybody's having a good time. Everybody loves Halloween, having fun. Aggie hit a fucking wall. And ever since the sex tape montage and the Paranormal Activity episode, when Rob fucked around and found out with Cutwater Margarita in a can the first time, everyone thought it was fun and games. So if you hear Cutwater on this show and you want to try it, you got to be careful. Yeah, this was Aggie immediately after she turned her stream off.
Cutwater's motherfucker.
That is a defeated woman. That is a humbled woman. And that is a very drunk woman. So, Rob, what do you have to say for yourself, man? Honestly, this is all because of you.
Listen, I do as I say, not as I do. All right. I have told people repeatedly not to fuck around or they will find out. For some reason, they don't heed the warning and they all want to fuck around.
Got a point, man. He tells them not to do it.
I do constantly.
He told us. He told both of us.
And we thought it was fun and games, too.
Yeah.
Cutwater is indeed a motherfucker.
Cutwater is a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Also, leave me alone. I'm gathering trivia. I forgot to do it.
God damn it, Rob. Be prepared. What are you doing? All right. We also do have a voicemail this week. Hang on. Let me dig that up real quick.
Do we care that this movie was filmed in Atlanta?
Oh, I care.
Good Lord, man. All right. Here is the voicemail for this week.
Happy birthday, my love. 30 years is a great milestone, and I'm looking forward to spoiling you when we celebrate soon. I'm making sure I'm polishing my fancy Crocs that you love so much. I look forward to seeing you. Nikki, Rob, be nice to her today, as you are every day, right? All right. Bye, everybody.
The hell's that, idiot?
That was last year I had feelers out and I had the Oompa Loompas get on the case and got a voicemail from Mr. Cat's boyfriend guy for Cat for her birthday. There was a bunch of voicemails. This was completely unprovoked. Mr. Cat's boyfriend guy did this all on his own this time.
Very nice of him.
Right? Gentlemen.
Yeah. And it is important to keep your Crocs clean.
Cat, how do you feel about that?
I'm just going to throw those away. What?
He shined his last Croc. Poor Mr. Cat's boyfriend guy. Cat, I forgot that you turned 30 this year. The big 30-0. I forgot.
Yeah.
Holy shit. How does that feel though, man? Are you dealing with it okay?
I feel like I'm dealing with it okay.
Yeah, it was hard for me, man. 30 was rough.
30 was a motherfucker. 30 was me. I insisted that when people asked me how old I was or whenever it came up, I told people I was 2010.
It's hilarious.
You know what helped me? This is really dumb, but I found out Mark
doing the show with us.
We got you through. Yeah. We're so nice to you all the time.
Margaret Qualley just had her 30th birthday. And it's like, it's okay to be the substance version to me more old, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Although I learned something interesting about her in the substance. You know, those aren't her boobs.
What?
Fake. Real? They use
whose
prosthetics.
Boobs are they?
They use prosthetics. They put prosthetics on her.
Insane.
Yeah. Don't know why. When it's got me when I'm like, does she have like a deformed boob or something?
They would have kept that in, right?
You think like she's got like one nipples like on the side or something? Like what's going on? Why do they have to cover them up?
What's wrong with you? You can't say that.
I was wondering, you know, it's questions.
Hard-hitting journalism today from Slasher Radio.
God, let's get an interview with her. I asked David Howard Thornton about his ass. We'll ask her about her boobs. It's only
don't
fair.
You dare. Yeah, but 30 was rough for me, dude. I didn't like that shit, and it does not get easier. I got news for you.
Yeah, I don't care now, dude.
Now. I wish I prayed for 30.
No. 30 was a motherfucker. I don't give a shit now. Like, I don't even remember how old I am most of the time. Sometimes it'll come up and I have to stop and think. I got to like do math. I'm like, fuck, I don't know. How old am I? Like, I quit counting that shit. I don't even give a fuck.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm at that point as well. Doesn't matter anymore. This is the last birthday that mattered, Kat. This was it. Enjoy it. This is the last one.
So I'm doing okay is what, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're handling it better than I did.
I was miserable.
Well, I am on my second later. Cut water. Well, yeah, there's a chance I just break down later. Right now, I'm feeling okay.
Plus, I have a lot of family and friends that are a bunch of assholes and did nothing but call me 30 since I was 28. So they did ease it a little bit because I've been hearing it so damn long. But yeah, Mr. Kai's boyfriend guy is a gentleman. Look at that. I like that. Nice. Right. Very, very
except
nice.
For the Crocs thing.
No, I
love that.
Yeah.
We're going to have an off-air meeting about that.
How's that mustache coming in? Is he doing that yet?
No.
Right. And when Kat turns 31, Mr. Kat's boyfriend, I will hear this episode and hear all the commending.
I will say, I kind of get Kat not wanting him to wear Crocs because, you know, the ladies then catches their eye and everything. I get that.
Is that why, Kat?
That's not why, but
It happens. You know. I get lots of looks when I wear mine.
I believe it.
Yeah, the tie-dye Croc. He literally, everybody listen to the show. He has tie-dye Crocs. It's not a joke or nothing. It's not even like
seen them.
Him leading into the bit. Those are the ones he chose.
I wear them to the beach. Well, the hotel pool that one time. Yeah. 9 out of 10 times is what I throw on when I go out take the dog for a walk.
Can you imagine going outside and you see a dude standing there with like a hoodie on or something, the dog on the leash and rainbow tie-dye Crocs?
I don't usually wear a hoodie because it doesn't get that cold here, although it is getting a little chillier at night, so maybe now. But yeah, it's like me and my PJs and my tie-dye Crocs go for a walk, you know.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
All right, comfortable.
Do I gotta hit my button?
Yeah, Mikey, I have really bad news for you. I'm so sorry. I was going to give you a little bit of a break because we've had to double up on some of the you know, like timely ones. I have two very timely ones that we have to play. I'm so sorry.
What?
I hate to do it.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Yeah. Go back to Curtis, fix an old folk and you'll fade in the end.
I hate it here.
But know that, like, in theory, I'm opposed to this.
Yeah, I can tell. Gobbledygook Mystery Corner. Where our listeners anonymously send in Italian memes making fun of me for being Italian. If you're a horror fan and this is the first time you're listening to this show, yeah, there's no horror tie in here. I don't know why we do it. Don't blame me.
This one was sent in response to our last episode. So
crying out loud.
Felt like it was better to play it soon.
Nice. I like that. I appreciate it. That's a nice one, Mikey.
All right. Before I check this, the memes go up on Patreon. I try my best to describe them on the show. Before I even look at this, right? I get a DM from Carly today, our newest patron. Yeah, this was wonderful. I like Carly. Me and Carly started off a little rocky. She was on Twitter. She was agreeing with Rob. That's always going to rub me the wrong way. So I was looking at Carly a little funny, but she DM'd me out of the blue. And this was the most beautiful, but this is like someone messaging you something nice, like out of nowhere, right? Carly says, Mikey, if it makes you feel any better, the Gabagoolie memes are not that funny to me, and I will not be seeking out Italian memes to submit.
Carly, nice. You need to get on board.
You see that?
Yeah. You've got a defender, Mikey.
Carly also actually sent me something on Twitter.
I've been on the Italian meme. My goddamn
mind. It is not an Italian meme. It is not.
You're double agenting, Carly. We're going to have problems.
No, she's not. She's not. She was true to her word, but I do want to send you this to you guys because I thought it was really funny. I hadn't seen it before. Maybe you have. I don't know. I don't know how old this is, but I really appreciated this one.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, it's Skinnamarink meme. Yeah,
it's good. Skinnamarink meme. I enjoyed that one quite a bit, and she sent that after last week's episode. But are you going to talk about this meme that we got here, Mikey? Because it is topical. It ties into last week's episode.
It does.
What the fuck?
And you can't say it's not horror related because that's a skull mug.
I mean, it is a skull mug, sure. I have a skull mug that, I mean, it's not that cool anywhere near, but remember my light up skull mug from my birthday last year or whenever it was? This year, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember
that. Oh, that was last year. I did the mudslide this year. Yeah, that's right.
You can't expect me to remember these things, though.
I don't. How does this tie into last week?
Because we said that we were going to start using chilling like Italian ice as an expression on this show.
Did we?
Yeah.
Rob did.
Tasha came up with it. She said it. And then I was like, well, I actually said it was a t-shirt idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for that and edited it to listen and listen to it again and still don't remember that whatsoever. But OK, really? I guess I believe you.
Had an impact on the listener.
Great. It's a skull mug, which I guess has to do with me. And yeah. It's got like a bunch of. Look, AI art is not there yet.
What's really throwing me off about it is look at the bottom of the handle.
I was just going to say that. It's not even connected. Yeah. Not
connected at all.
The one that really got me is the orange limes. I don't know why. That one just upsets me.
Yeah. And this is the thing that's going to take over the world, guys.
Yeah.
But it's got a bunch of like weird balls of something. I don't know.
Maybe ice. Because I don't think it knows what an Italian ice is either. Yeah, no. Because there's just a bunch of ice.
Yeah, it's got some orange lime somehow and Italian flags hanging out of it. This thing is stupid. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. It's not even good art. Like, it's not. God damn it.
I kind of enjoy the AI ones because the art is entertaining.
This is the second week in a row that Mikey has generously requested that people hand draw Italian memes for him.
It's interesting in that, you know, everything is art. All art is sort of in the eye of the beholder, right?
I mean, I guess fine. I guess I don't know. I don't want to see it in Italian meme form. I'm not okay with that. But here we are today. Yeah. But I don't understand how we're still here. I don't get it. Why is there two though? Why do I get two? What did I do?
Well, the second one. So that one was in response to last week's episode. So I felt like it was important to share it now. This next one. Let's just say there is a time limit on me being the one to send this to you.
Rob.
We can't confirm or deny that it's Rob.
Stop sending in Italian memes, Rob.
No. This was sent to me by an anonymous listener. I passed it on.
Okay.
That's all I did.
I don't care. You still did it. Stop.
Listen. Do you want me to pass them to Kat or you want me to just send them directly to you?
Send them directly to me. I would have only got one this week.
Either way, they're getting to you. You know what I mean?
Right. So do it that way. Jesus.
But I never know what Kat's got planned, and I've screwed up the one of the week before. So
it has happened.
That's the thing you're worried about screwing up on this show. We had David Howard Thornton, Art the Clown, on the show. Oh, I'm asking him about his ass. No problem. All kinds of shit that you do. That's fine. You don't worry about screwing up the show. This you worry about. All right. It's a stupid TikTok. So I have to play the damn thing.
Yeah,
look, I'm not wearing a suit. All right.
By the way, this is ridiculous. If the president was Italian, is what this is, I guess.
Look, I'm not wearing a suit. All right, deal with it. How you doing,
Mr. President? How did you end the war?
Oh, I'm sorry. The what?
The war?
You mean that thing? Yeah, you took care of it.
Can you tell us your strategy?
One thing led to another, and then look, the war's over. All right, don't worry about it. Yeah.
What are your plans for the economy, sir?
Look, my slogan was pretty straightforward. Learn how to earn. What, now it's my fault you're broke?
What about the allegations of you rigging the election?
Forget about it. That's a Fugazi report.
What about God damn it.
Oh, he took a vacation. You won't be him no more.
One more question, Mr. President.
Look, can we hurry this shit up? I got Sunday dinner waiting, all right? First lady made meatballs.
What's your plan to fight climate change?
I mean, what can you do? You know, sometimes it's hot and then sometimes it's cold. What are you going to do? Thank you, everybody.
Mr. President.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'm signing a bill today that disbands the New York Jets as a football team, effective immediately.
What? Why?
Because they're a disgrace. That's why. No more questions. Thank you.
All right. He's not wrong. Oh, this is ridiculous. All right. Yeah, the meme ends with "Is Gabagool healthy?" like a news update report. Get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Good.
No. It gives him like a vision of what it would be like if one of your countrymen was, you know, nominated to our land's highest office.
People that are Italian don't have to talk like that. You realize that? Like, this is racist.
I know, but you do, and I don't understand why.
No, we don't.
Yeah, but you could if you wanted to, Mikey.
And don't leave out the best part that the guy's wearing a tracksuit the entire time he's up there.
He's right about the Jets, though. We should get rid of him. He's not wrong about that.
Come on, Mikey. That's one of your New York teams.
I don't care. No, they play in New Jersey. If you want to root for the Jets, you go to New Jersey, root for them over there. We have nothing to do with it. They got Aaron Rodgers and they still suck. The team is cursed. All right. Fuck. This is disrespectful. Who's sending these to you? Like, why?
This week it was Rob. So.
No, I mean, who sent it to Rob, though, in the first
place? I cannot divulge that information.
Bunch of cowards, what we're dealing with here. That's what this is. Bunch of cowards. And I cannot wait for Carly to tell me how unfunny this shit was.
Come on, Carly. That's pretty funny. The guy's wearing a velour tracksuit. He's up there. I really enjoyed that one. No. It is timely. I mean, you know, the election, actually, by the time this episode comes out, the election will have just ended and we will have a new president elect. And I'm sure all our problems will be solved right away.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Everything's going to be much better.
I hate this shit.
That's not a political rant, by the way. So don't go unsubscribe from the Patreon. I was just saying, no matter who wins, shit's still going to be fucked up.
Unless it's this guy. This guy sounds like he has a plan. I'm just saying.
Sounds like he gets shit done.
He took care of the war.
He took care of the war. Don't worry about it. What are you going to do? It's hot. It's cold.
I brought it up. I forget. I don't think it was last week. I think it was the week before that. Ever since you brought it up, where, you know, 6 years ago, I was sitting there saying, you know, I want to talk about horror stuff. I really love horror. This would be great. Never in my life did I ever think I would have to sit and watch atrocities happen to my people every fucking week. Twice a week. That.
We've got to keep you spooked and on your toes, Mikey.
Yeah. And look, if we keep doing two a week, we'll get through that folder much faster. This whole thing will be over before you know it.
It's a never-ending folder. It is
done in like 32 weeks, Mikey.
No, it is the racist Santa's bag of gifts to Italian people is what it is. All right. Like a Santa bag. It just never ends. There's always a damn gift in there.
Aw.
No, Mikey gets gifts.
No. I said racist. It's not good. Not all gifts are good gifts. Monkey's paw things.
Racist in the same way Bone Tomahawk's racist.
Bone Tomahawk is racist.
Oh, shit. That was on the Patreon episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
People are going to get that. Patreon, guys.
Yeah.
Subscribe for more political rants.
We've talked about this before. I can't remember what we're doing when. So sometimes I'm going to say things that reflect the Patreon episodes. And, you know, for 75 cents a week or whatever, you can fucking hear them.
Patreon.com/radio. That is correct. All right. I got to decompress every time, man. This segment is very bad for my mental health. Like, nobody takes me into consideration here, man. Nobody. How you guys feel about that, Rob? Huh?
I think everybody's thinking about you. Think about all the time people spend thinking about you.
Yeah, that's true.
75 cents a week, right? Nobody sits there throughout their day. And goes, 75 cents a week, man. Imagine all the money I just spent, like $50 for a burger and fries on Uber Eats or something. Man, that show, they work hard, man. They're really good. I'm going to give them 75 cents a week. No, that's not what they sit and think about. They sit and think about Italian memes. This is the problem here.
To be fair, a lot of them think about both.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them think about
there's both, a crossover.
Cross of the size is the problem. If we would make the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner patron submission only, we'll pass the last podcast on the left. All right. Jeez.
Oh, I meant to bring up something about that too. I don't want to do it on the show though.
Okay.
I'll remind you.
Yeah, I won't remember.
Oh, or we're taking our break now, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, okay. So Rob's got to talk shit about a very popular show. Yeah, great. Do that. Sure. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about Rings for crying out loud.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Rings is coming up.
If you like Rings, listen.
You seen how much of a draw the Ring was for Cult FM, man. They'll be back. God damn it. Okay. Algorithms and everything else thrown out the window. Could you, like... It's happened, guys. We joked about it, but it's pretty much that one Patreon pick short, though, of it really becoming a problem, I think. Yeah, we have another Ring movie. So people who forever look back at the history of the show can see like four Ring movies done in the span of 2-3 months. So here we are with Ring.
And the Patreon pick's not going to help, I have a feeling.
Yeah, we have a Patreon pick coming up. Also, yeah,
we got a Patreon pick next week.
Huh?
Yeah. guys, don't do it. Look, honestly, I understand the allure. Believe me, I see it. I'm human. I get it. Please don't make me watch another fucking Ring movie, first of all. Secondly, we can't keep doing Ring movies. There is such a thing of, you know, people looking at our list of our episodes and saying, oh, I don't like that movie. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to listen to this.
What is this, a Ring podcast?
Right. Please don't do it. For the love of God, please don't do it.
The bright side is there's only, what, like 13 Ring movies?
Oh, is that all?
We could be back to normal like halfway through next year. It would be fine.
Honestly,
I appreciate the bit. All right. I really do, but I do think it's hurting the show.
Yeah, it is. But honestly, Will.
Thrill me, Will.
Thrill me.
Maybe the savior of the show, because in the middle of all the Ring nonsense and Graveyard Shark and everything else that we had to put our our algorithm through, Will, what did he have in there? It was like a Halloween movie.
Halloween Kills.
Yeah, thank God we had a movie like that in the middle of all this. Thank God.
Here's another quick thing, real quick. This does affect the show when we do these movies. But it's fine. It's whatever. It's what the show is.
Yeah.
But if you want to help offset that and to help the show, and this doesn't cost any money, but whatever platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, leave a 5-star review for the show. Yeah. It'll help us out. I don't know how it all works, but if you leave, from my understanding, is leave a 5-star review and a written comment, and you can comment anything. You'd be like, fucking gabagooly or whatever. And
don't do that.
And it goes up there, and then that helps lift up this fucking show up the fucking algorithm or whatever. And we get very few reviews, and when we do it, some asshole like Shark Fizzle upset because we don't like Buffy the Vampire Slayer for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really want to help the show, that's a great way to do it that doesn't cost any money. The other way, obviously, is join the Patreon. That does cost a little bit of money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you want to support the show and you know you can't join the Patreon, that's fine. But that is a way to do it. That is true. And fuck Shark Fizzle.
And another thing that helps us out: watch the YouTube content.
Yeah.
You know, and then those
monetized now somehow. So go ahead and do that.
A couple of free ways to help out the show. Because look, I get it. Not everybody can join the Patreon. People are just fucking tough out there, man. People can't pay bills.
Facts.
But you know. That's a couple things you can do. And also, I mean, you know, if you're going to vote through shitty movies and stuff, that's fine. We'll have fun with it.
You know, and if you join the Patreon, I think it's your right to really tank our rankings by voting in a bunch of Ring movies. But join that fun. Like,
that's why they're the ones that can do it, by the way, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do this shit publicly. And that's if right. we do
they're
take
paying it for our mistakes.
Right. And if we do take an open suggestion, it's something like, you know, we did Carrie 2. Granted, Carrie 2 is the best example, but it's still Carrie.
And then we did Carrie 2 4 years later.
And the next election we'll do the next one. Yeah.
Next election, we'll do the fucking remake or whatever's next on the Carrie franchise. I don't even know.
Never heard back from what's her name either that requested that, by the way. I don't think they're happy with us. Yeah.
Probably not.
Well,
that happens.
What if a sister doesn't even listen to the show?
Well, let's see. Shark Fizzle.
What if that's actually kind of funny. What if we just went around getting other shows, seeing what we can get them to do? And we could do like a whole Patreon show on that. Like, well, these guys actually talked about Shark, Graveyard Shark. Like, this is what they actually did.
So, yeah. But the only people who can really destroy the show are the patrons and us, of course. And
they do a fucking hell of a job. And so do we.
And so do we with the birthday picks. Look, I just want to say that because I recognize we are part of the problem.
Yeah, it's a bad time to bring all this up.
Yeah,
bad time to bring all this up. That is true.
So, review the show, 5-star review. It's a big help. And like Kat said, go watch the YouTube stuff. And that's a big help, too.
Correct. All right. So, Kat Valor.
Yeah.
Usually this is like a whole, why'd you pick this? I love this movie. It meant so much to me and yada, yada, yada. We know why you picked it. We went over it. Yeah, this is spite. At its finest. This was the, you know, I see the play. Bravo. Sure.
Thank you.
Does anyone want to go first with opening thoughts to this thing?
I feel like Kat was at a crossroads where she could pick four things or Rings.
Yeah.
And she decided she'd rather watch Rings this week.
Understood.
Well,
that's a weird way to put it.
I decided that I have been participating in Slasher Radio long enough. I also have the right to tank the show. Another Ring pick.
We don't have to like it. to appreciate.
If this show goes under, imagine how much time we'll have to spend watching good movies.
Yeah, I can watch Poor Things as much as I want this time next month.
Yeah, probably. So.
I was actually working on YouTube stuff when I forgot I needed to watch this tonight. And I was in a Discord call and they were like, you got to watch that movie. I said, oh, fuck, it's getting late. And they were like, oh, share it. We'll watch it. I'm like, okay. So someone came back and said, oh, what are we watching? I said, look, it's Rings. Don't get your hopes up. All right. I have no choice. Halfway through the movie, by the way, too, they're like, this sucks. I'm like, I know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, this is my third time watching Rings.
God damn.
It's my second time watching it this year. And it was hard to sit through. The third time is not the charm. Like, rewatching Rings doesn't make it any better. I will say my second viewing experience was a little bit better than the first. I was on a date watching Rings when it was out in theater. And God, that was one of the worst dates of my entire life.
Yeah.
You picked the movie, didn't you?
Well, no, but it was one of those. I could have kept my mouth shut because we were lined up to see a much better movie. But I was like, well, because he wanted to know what was playing. And I was like ready to watch A Cure for Wellness, which was out the same weekend. And mm-hmm. I was like, seems like a really solid pick. Looks good. I'm intrigued. And he's like, anything else playing? And I was like, well, Rings came out today. And he's like, oh, I liked The Ring. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to go watch Rings. And yeah, it was bad. It was a bad time. That was the last time we went to the theater together.
He blames you to this day. You know that, right?
Yeah, he is. And it's jokes on him because I went back to see Cure for Wellness. It was a much better movie.
It is a much better movie, yeah.
And I mean, still kind of blame him for Rings, but
two arguments to be made. Understood.
So like, but going in and knowing that it was bad and watching it, you know, at home, it's not a good experience, but it was one that I willingly signed up for. Watching it again today, it's like, man, I'm really not going to get anything out of watching this a third time. And I was right.
Yeah, this movie's bad.
It's really bad.
I'd only seen it one other time, like when it was new or whatever. I don't remember, but I didn't remember it that well. I was not excited when Kat picked it because I remember I did not like it, but I was like, all right, whatever. I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe it'll be better. The rewatch gets me sometimes, whatever. Boy, was this movie fucking boring.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So the first time I saw it, like in the theater, I tuned out really early. I tuned out in the cold open of this movie because it's so bad. But then I just had a tough time. Like, I tuned out the rest of the film. When I rewatched it, I was like, I kind of thought I remembered what happened and I was paying a little bit closer attention. And it's like, no, that doesn't make sense in the timeline. So today I kind of tried to take notes about the Ring timeline. And it really, like, I'm more confused today than I was last time I saw it. The timeline is really, really messy for this.
You put a lot more thought in this movie than I did. I can tell you that.
I knew we were going to have to talk about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to pay attention and I'm going to take notes. And when that failed, I found some fun reviews.
Yeah,
I'm kind of prepared. I got for the movie.
I kind of failed at the paying attention part because Greg's live was happening at the same time that I remembered I had to watch this movie. So I was kind of, I had that on my phone. And I'm not going to lie, there were a lot of stretches where I was paying a lot more attention to what Greg was doing on TikTok than what was happening on my TV screen that I paid $5 to watch, by the way, and was not happy about.
Do you know how many people in that Discord call? Because it's only on Apple. And yeah, they were like, oh, I have Apple. Oh, I can do this. I said, no, I will not let the people at Apple think people want to watch this. And I pirated them like an American. That's right. I'll admit it. I was not paying for this.
Nope. I rented it from Amazon, I believe.
Oh, Amazon too? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I give Bezos $5.
I own a DVD copy of Rings.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I'm glad that you asked why, Mikey. When we did The Ring 2, it was cheaper to buy the 3-pack than it was to rent The Ring 2.
So believe it. The rest are worthless. Yeah.
They're all worthless. Yeah. They had to be like, we can't give this shit away. Come on.
And also when we watched The Ring 2, I already knew that I was going to pick this as my movie. So, you know, two birds, one stone.
Sure. No, I $5 to Amazon to not pay attention to a bad movie. That was my night. And earlier today, my 4K deluxe edition of Zodiac showed up and I could have been watching that. Instead, I was watching this and not happy about it.
Yeah, I did put this off a few times because I bought myself a copy of The Substance. And last night I was going to watch Rings and I was like, but do I want to watch Rings when I could watch The Substance?
Wait,
and
the then Substance I woke up. Is out already?
There's not a physical release yet, but you can get it from
digital.
You can get the digital one.
Okay.
And I went ahead and did it just because I don't know when it's getting a physical release. So
you should. It might not. Some stuff just doesn't.
Some stuff doesn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think Revenge ever did. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that was my night. Now I did not. I literally forgot about it last night, and then I just had a bunch of stuff I wanted to watch that was more important to me than this movie, and then kind of forgot about it as the night went on. So yeah, around 9 o'clock, I was like, "Oh shit, I gotta watch a fucking movie."
About when I did, that's what happened to me too. Yeah. Yes, this honestly, this movie's bad.
It's real fucking bad. Yeah,
just put that out there now. Don't expect any positivity coming, but.
Turn the episode off now, Shark Fizzle.
Yeah.
No. I've got a surprise at the end.
Oh shit. There's a surprise
at the end. All right. Well, I honestly, the cold open, because I'm going into this, like I never watched Rings. I didn't see the need to. There was no reason. I wasn't going to waste my time. So I never watched this. First time watch. And I, you know, you see trailers and shit as the time goes on, right? This movie came out like a long time ago. So I sit there and I'm like, God damn it, man. I know what I'm getting into. I've seen bits and pieces. This is going to suck. And the cold open on the plane and everything. I mean, for what I knew it was going to be and for how bad Ring 2 was. And on top of that, for how mid, incredibly lower mid the Ring is, not quality, but like just was sitting down watching, you know, like obviously the Ring was a beautifully made movie. From a technical aspect, understood. But enjoyment, yeah, no, it does rewatchability. You can listen to our recent episode on The Ring not too long ago. This is a Ring podcast after all. But I was like, damn, man, you know what? This might be the best Ring, like, enjoyable watch of a Ring movie.
No.
I thought it was cool. You know, all the black shit just comes out from under the,
you
know.
I just want to throw this out here. First of all, I have, like, one small nitpick. With this is that all of the Ring movies kind of open up with leading into the larger nitpick. Like all of the Ring movies kind of open up with a like, did you hear about this tape? Rings? No. It has two because in a plane, in a small enclosed space, we have to hear a guy tell someone about the tape and then she has to tell her friend. We have to have that conversation an extra time for no reason, which just it's. Bad, right? Like, it's not even lazy writing. It's just bad. And then the friend has the reaction. But my bigger issue with the cold open of Ring is that, like, there are movies that are defined by their cold opens. Like, we have Final Destination, and Rob only knows them as, like, Airplane and Log Truck and Roller Coaster. You know what franchise shouldn't have that is Rings. Like, there shouldn't be a plain Ring movie, you know? Where they just bring down the whole fucking play. I was so mad. I almost left the theater. Like, I was irrationally angry about this.
Imagine how angry the guy you were on a date with was. I want to dispute one thing, Kat. And that is, you said that they tell us about the tape twice for no reason.
Yeah.
And I think that you're missing the larger point here. And that is that this movie tells us everything for no reason. You know, the old adage in film, show, don't tell.
They forgot about that.
Whoever was following that for this movie is dyslexic. And they were like, don't show, tell. Because they tell you this movie is exposition the fucking movie. It is so fucking bad and so boring. And that's all they do is tell you stuff.
When did this movie come out? Does anyone remember the year?
2017, I think.
Yeah. When did the original Ring come out?
2000. Japanese one?
No, ours.
2001.
All right. That's not that long of a time to need to retell the story. Like, a new Friday the 13th movie comes out, Nightmare on Elm Street. Understood. It's been a long time introducing new audiences.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to be happy about that. We all know that fucking story.
Sure. But still, like, everyone from that generation knows what The Ring was. It was that big of a movie. You don't got to do that. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, this is one of the worst cold opens I've ever. And it's frustrating. My issue with the cold open is my issue with the movie at large, is that I actually think there's like a tiny seed of an idea in here somewhere that's good. And these are always the movies that piss me off the most, are the ones that have potential that they just like throw away for nothing. And this is both one of the most boring movies I've ever seen and one of the most interesting concepts for a Ring movie. Like, it's almost something and it just refuses to do anything. The cold open is a great example of that, because there's this scene where like the friend is panicking because she knows that for a fact that the tape is real and the guy that's about to die is on the plane, right? Like, it's an enclosed environment. It's something that we haven't seen in a Ring movie yet that's got this really interesting element. It escalates in less than a minute. We have 60 seconds to like sit with that fear before Samara's just fucking crashing planes. Right. That's like, it's bad. It's really bad. But it could have been interesting, you know. I don't think Samara needed to crash the plane. I think the fact that the curse is like that widespread and that simultaneously enclosed could have been good on its own without opening with a plane crash. That happens 2 years before the start of our movie. Like, it's rough. It's bad.
I thought it looked cool, and that's all it, you know, they cared about it doing. Was, you know, look cool. Like, they just got it. Like you said, if they would have taken that out, it would have just been one less scene. It meant absolutely nothing to any of the movie. So yeah, like, it, you know, it, I think that's all it was. And then, it did look cool.
And also, it's like, I get upset about power scaling and things also with supernatural elements, but it's like the whole movie is supposed to be about, here is how Samara's powers growing affects the outside world. You know, that's like one of the big themes about the movie. But she starts the movie crashing a plane, and then there's a 2 year time skip where everyone just like forgets about her apparently until Nerdy Professor shows up. And it irritated me a lot, because it's like, crashing a plane, even though I think it's really, really dumb, is a huge escalation from the last Ring movie we saw, where she could be tricked by a mom, you know, like that's huge escalation. But then, like, the fact that it doesn't matter, you know, the fact that the plane crash is built on something else, or is blamed on something else, and we just move on with our lives, like, it made it feel very immediately anticlimactic.
Yeah, I get that. Like, I wasn't that irritated by the cold open, but it's completely unnecessary too. But I was also in the frame of mind of, fuck it, this whole movie's unnecessary, so what right. difference does it make? Yeah, the power scaling thing, I was getting really irritated by that, because I felt like this movie was like just not following the rules of the world that have been set up in the previous two movies a lot. And that just is weird to me. Like, we have two movies that have established the rules of this world, and now they're just thrown out the window because she can crash planes. And I don't even know, apparently make Johnny Galecki crash his car or something, even though he watched the tape and then showed other people the tape. So he should be safe now, because those are the rules of the fucking movies that we've been watching.
Right.
That made no sense. I was baffled by this movie for a lot of reasons, and it completely ignoring the lore of the first two movies was probably my biggest problem with this film. Not that I love the first two movies or anything, but you've established the rules that we are playing within. Right. And so when you change them, that it's like Freddy's Revenge, right? Freddy's Revenge doesn't make any sense because it doesn't follow right. the rules at all. And it's fucking irritating. Now he can
possess people and
you know, make a bird explode or whatever the fuck that was. Yeah. So it's just, this movie lost me well before that point, because I also don't remember anything about how watching the tape would cause magical, mystical visions, right? Like, I feel like a lot of times people just watched the tape and they lived in fear because they knew they were going to die in 7 days, and then they fucking died in 7 days. But Johnny Galecki watches the tape and there's like a fucking fly that crawls out of his cigarette and rain is falling upwards and shit. What the fuck is that all about?
And again, that's one of those. It's one of the things. The movie's theme is that Samara is getting stronger, but he's presumably the first person to watch that tape in 2 years. And now she can affect the outside world. She can summon bugs and make rain or and make gravity not matter. Whatever the fuck is going on. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it was just fucking wild. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, we have established rules and you've got to follow those rules.
It's so frustrating to me because I think the perfect escalation, we have what, like 12 years or whatever in between the Ring 2 and Rings. I think a beautiful escalation of that story is to go into the digital age and these kind of like curious minds or very morbid minds that are going to want to put this thing on the internet and spread it around. And like this touches on that, but it has to run it through so many other filters where it's like an extra credit project from a crazy professor whose nephew died in a plane crash 2 years ago or whatever. And it's like, no. You have the idea. It's there and it's good. Do that.
And also, like, what was his, he had like a research study set up or something. I don't know.
He was trying to make it like a quantum physics experiment.
It looked less like a research study and more like just a Samara themed nightclub. You walk in there and this is like the weird pictures and Samara art around and like chicka 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 music. And like, what the fuck is going on?
And that's another thing.
I enjoy that bit.
I actually don't mind that as a thing because it's like, that's one of those weird, you know, it goes viral online and then you have these people that are going to be like, oh, I know what to do. A pop-up bar, you know, and then like, but then we have Samara's rage at like, my story is being trivialized because that's what happens when information spreads, which like ties into the theme of the other two movies. But they're like, no, college professor. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, the evil college professor.
That is so convoluted. It ruins the entire movie.
It never gets less convoluted. There's at one point they discover there's a video inside of a video. How does that even fucking work?
And that's another thing is because they want us to be really impressed by that. But first of all, that's the only thing that Samara can do. That's like the only power that carries over from the other movies is that she can create videotapes. So it's like, and they're like, this means that she's getting like more high tech or whatever. And it's like, she can make rain go up.
That's more impressive to me.
On that thing,
it is more impressive to me to make rain fall upwards than it is to make a video. I can tell you that right now.
You know, and I'm not, maybe Mikey is going to prove me wrong in a second because I'm not a video editor. That doesn't seem like that extraordinary to me.
It's a pain in the ass, sure. I can't make rain go up.
I mean, it's just what, and I'm just like, and they are trying to explain this video hidden within a video concept. And I'm just like, look, I don't know how that fuck that even works. And even if there is a video hidden within the video, how did the girl see it? It didn't make sense to me. It was just fucking dumb.
And she's like, her partner is crashing the car over birds that only she can see. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, she's like,
the video was for me because I saw the bird. And I'm like, what?
There's a bird. Okay, there's a fucking bird. What do you want me to do? I'm not even stopping the car for that. I got to be honest with you. We can discuss the bird as we drive down the road.
And then she had to get out and look for the bird. And it's like, no, you've got like a deadline here that's really serious.
While we're on it, like, so there's the tape within a tape or whatever. And it's so they've made this new ring like tape, right? Like this, the new, there's like the classic one that we all know from the first movie, and like within that one somehow embedded magically or whatever the fuck is another one. And the other one, they show it eventually and it's lame as fuck.
It's like, so bad.
They didn't even make it creepy. It's just dumb.
And the special effects are worse. Yeah. Like so much so.
Yeah. And you're talking 15 years since the first movie. I know special effects have gotten better.
Honestly, too, a big hurdle that this movie and, you know, franchise has is it's a movie of its time because it's VHS, you know, and I think that's a big part of this here because even after that cold open, they go, you know, 2 years later, and the what's her name's the main character. I don't remember any. The only person's name in this movie I know, there's two people, Samara and David from Roseanne. Yes, that is his legal name. And it's that's so what funny. I will call him.
Can we all talk about like what we were calling the characters? Because I also David I know Samara. I know Leonard from Big Bang Theory. And I know, like, I was calling the main girl off brand Amelia Clark, which is mean, but also like
100% accurate.
It's so accurate.
The interesting thing to me is that David or Leonard, we all went a different way because I was like,
you actually
I know what
name.
You did last summer, guy. So, we all went a different way with him. I didn't even bother to remember the names of any other people. And I do know the guy, his name is Johnny Galecki.
Oh, the actor, I do know but, Holt's name also, because they said Holt so many times in this movie. Oh, and He's like the least useful character to the plot.
Yeah. He is the... how he got the lead in a movie. Well, it's not his fault. The actor's fine, but he's just a blank slate. That guy, like there's just nothing there. He is a total zero. Also the preacher, that guy, I who played him. I recognized that actor. I was like, oh, that's that guy. I'm going to have to look it up. It's going to drive me nuts, but I didn't really bother to commit any of their names to memory at all.
But yeah, Mikey, I'm sorry. It was so funny to hear you call him like a different other name. And it's like, we've got to talk about this because we don't know who anybody's like character's name is in this film.
No, and I came up with a third different name. So we all had a different name for him.
But no, homegirl was like looking at the VHS player. She acted like she was looking at a fucking dinosaur fossil. Like it was ridiculous. So what do you do? You know, and honestly, not to fast forward all the way to the end of the movie, but, you know, pretty much Samara becomes an internet virus.
Yeah.
Is what happens.
The dumbest ending ever. It was honestly, I laughed so hard.
It was so bad.
That looks so stupid.
I've had that exact virus, though. Like, identical. And
stop pirating movies.
No, I'll take the virus to not spend $5 on fucking
Vincent
rings.
D'Onofrio, by the way, is the guy who played the priest.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
do I know him from anything else?
He was in, you would know him. He's been in he's a good actor. He's been in some good movies. A lot of people know him from Law and Order Criminal Intent. He was on that show.
Okay.
But yeah, he's a really good actor. And they pull off in these movies sometimes some coups with good actors in these sort of secondary roles, because they had Brian Cox in the first one.
Cox.
So you're not allowed to say that, Mike. You got to beep it.
But I said it's his last name, though. And I said it in a funny accent. No,
all right.
I got to believe.
All right. That's fine. That's all fine. Right. This movie, it was exhausting the amount of time they spent explaining stuff to me and not explaining it well, because I was still kind of confused. I think their explanations confused me further. You know what I mean? Like, I just, they explained so much. And yeah, the VCR thing, like it was some ancient relic from a past time or something. And I
don't
know.
But what else do you do, dude? You
know? I was like, all right, well, I mean, I'm old. Maybe people this age at this time didn't know about VCRs. I don't fucking know.
It's true.
But we've seen other movies have to deal with that challenge, and they've handled it much better. I mean, Scream had to deal with, you know, smartphones and everything else, because every, you know, nobody has landlines anymore.
They handled all that shit.
Yeah, they handled it perfectly. It was great. You don't even really know. You know what I mean? It's such a smooth transition. You don't even realize they've made a transition.
But that's a lot easier than a girl, you know, watching a tape. And I don't know. I just feel like it's hard for a movie, like, because it's such an important part. It's hard to make another movie.
I don't know. I listen. The computer virus thing at the end is handled very poorly. It's very stupid. It's a bad twist. But I think that could have been like that. That could have been the movie.
That's
though.
What I was getting to. Yes.
Yeah, because it takes one man at the beginning of the movie, maybe a weird professor with a VCR tape, to convert that to a digital format. And then once it's on the internet, it goes everywhere. And that's a much like that's how you escalate this. And it was right there. They had the idea.
Yeah. I agree. That was my where I was going. That's what you could have did. Yeah. And at least it'd have been interesting. This is just the same story.
Do we think the idea was that that was going to be the next movie and then they just never did a next movie?
That could have been it. But and, you know, not to throw Scream 6 under the bus again, but we've got to stop. And they had to stop also making trailers for movies that nobody wants, like hour and 40 minute trailer for a better concept for a movie. Just do the good concept now. It's not like this is a first like proof of concept. This is the third one. And there's already been a 12 year break in the timeline, you know, come back strong.
Honestly, here's a little reward for anybody who's still listening to this episode. We will have James Vanderbilt on, one of the writers who was a past guest on the show. And he was one of the writers of Scream 5 and 6, I believe. Definitely 5. We had him on for 5. But, dude, I cannot fucking wait. He's going to be promoting some other stuff, but I cannot wait to ask him what happened with 6. Was there, like, was that the... Honestly, in a nicer way.
He shows up and we've all... It's like an interrogation room where, like, what went wrong with Scream 6? What did you do?
But it's a serious question. Is that the story you wanted to tell or what really happened? Did you have to pivot because it felt like a pivot? And honestly, I feel like we're going to get the answer to that soon, which is not out there. Everyone's sitting and saying how great it was for some fucking reason. Get to the bottom of things, man.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I don't know that they felt like they made a mistake or because that movie was pretty well praised by everybody outside of this show.
By idiots.
Yeah.
Honestly, by idiots.
And really, the beautiful thing about that episode is we'll finally get the chance to hopefully talk to them about Zodiac.
Yeah, we'll get that in there too. But I mean, yeah, that Scream thing really pissed me off, man. Honestly, beating at me. Yeah, let's do this.
The other thing that I want to talk about is Samara's dad. This one, the third act of this movie feels like a different earlier pitch for this movie that was scrapped and then they filmed anyway. Like, it's very frustrating to me because they use flashbacks, like they use footage from the previous two Ring movies, making them canon to this timeline. And then they make no attempt to make this movie's like timeline fit in with the canon at all. Samara would have had to have like two moms and two dads before her adopted parents for this timeline to make sense. And also, she would have had to be born in like the 70s. Like, it just, none of the timeline fits together and it drives me crazy. I tried really hard to follow it this time. I was not successful. Ring fans, if you're listening, please and feel Shark free Bizzle to correct us in the review that you leave in the 5-star review that you leave for Slasher Radio.
The 1-star that you'll no doubt leave bitching about how we didn't like the one movie that you listened to us talk about.
Please help me understand what the timeline is supposed to be for this movie. Because in 2, like a girl who's a few months pregnant comes into the like women's shelter and delivers a child there that she tries to kill, and that child is Samara. Here, she was held captive for 8.5 months, presumably like through the pregnancy. Like, Samara's dad knows the dad. He's calling her Samara, even though Samara was a name that was taken by the adopted father, Frank Morgan. And it's just, it's messy and bad. And I don't hate the idea that maybe Samara is evil because she had a religious creep father, you know, but it's weird. And I don't think we needed it. And I think it should have been its own separate movie if we had to have it at all, because yikes, it felt long. It just felt long. And then there are twists that should have been fun or interesting, at least, you know, where it's like the helpful blind preacher is secretly evil, which this franchise has always made religion seem kind of evil. So first of all, it wasn't a good twist, but it could have been really interesting, except for it's just like, I wanted it to end by that point. It felt like we had seen a full movie by the time they're introducing Samara's dad as a character.
Yeah. This movie felt long from the minute I pushed play. The first time I checked the time, it was 25 minutes in and I still had over an hour to go and I was mad. This movie is so bad from the word jump. I wonder though, I am curious, because you're right about that, whether that was like they had two ideas and they didn't know which way to go. So they tried to mash them together.
They feel really disconnected.
Yeah, it really does. It really does feel disconnected. And boy, they could not have tipped off that preacher was evil more if they had tried. No. If they had given him a mustache to twirl, because I mean, my God, everything about that guy was, you were just like, when he's like, you know, the thing about visions is you don't know what they're trying to show you or whatever bullshit line he says. And, you know, and then he asks about the mark on her hand. And then she asks something else about it. Like, what's it mean? And he's like, well, just be careful. I'm like, all right, well, that's not helpful. That's not a helpful answer to my fucking question. So clearly something's wrong with you.
Yeah, this thing.
And they tried to make it seem like an escalation, you know, where they're like, well, we're getting back to the origin of the story with Samara's dad. And it's like, that was literally the plot of the ring. It was a different dad, but and then, you know, when he's trying to say, like, every now and then people pass through town looking for Evelyn, having questions about Evelyn's weird ass kid. And it's like, no, they wouldn't have, though, because if you trace the name Samara Morgan back from the tape, you get Frank Morgan. It's right, a different right. man in a different town on the other side of the country. Like, how many people could have possibly come asking about this? You know, and it drove me up. That whole plot line made me so frustrated.
Here's a question. This is just a small thing that I noticed, and it doesn't really matter to the movie one way or another, but it really stood out to me towards the beginning of the film. Our main character, what'd you call her? Low budget Amelia Clark.
Random Amelia Clark.
She gets a Skype call from a woman in a panic yelling about her boyfriend and don't, you know, where's Holt, whatever. Ask Holt about the tape or whatever the fuck she says, some dumb shit. And her immediate thought, well, obviously she tries to call Holt and he doesn't answer his phone. So her immediate thought is to get in her car and drive. And from what I could tell, and at least the way they made it look, the road sign was that she was going to Spokane, which was 540 miles away.
Huh?
Would you drive 7.5 to 8 hours over that?
No. I would not.
No, I'd be mad as hell. Like, why isn't this motherfucker answering their phone or whatever? But I'm not getting in the car and spending my whole day driving over there to figure out what your fucking problem is.
No. Also, I don't want to defend Holt. I don't want to defend Mr. Clean Slate over there. But I do have to. And it's not a point in the movie. It's not a plot point. It never comes up. I would be furious if I were Holt, because I sign up for an extracurricular activity that almost gets me killed. And while I'm trying to deal with that, my professor tells my girlfriend, who has driven all the way to Spokane to see if I'm OK. My professor tells her that I'm probably having an affair and she should go home and forget me. Yeah. It's like, look, you're the reason I almost died. That part on the rewatch today, I was like, wait a minute, because he's the guy that ends up helping them. You know, Leonard right, that is doesn't there make at the sense. End.
His character is inconsistent, right? Because he's portrayed as evil, but then suddenly he wants to help him out. It that's a weird character. And also
he tries to break them up for no reason at the beginning, just because he's too lazy to answer questions about the children he's endangering.
The decision to talk to the professor is a wild one just on its face. I mean, if you've ever gone to college and had a class that big, which I had many of them when I was in college, the professors didn't know my fucking name. They didn't give a shit about me. They didn't know anything.
And you know, he uses that as an excuse, and she's like suspicious about it. But I was like, no, that's correct.
Right. That's exactly what would happen. These fucking professors don't know you when you're in a class that size. It's impossible for them to.
And she's like, you have to know him. He was doing extra credit for you. And right. He's like,
all right.
Whatever. And he's like, no, probably another woman. Okay.
Well, I mean, look, if you're endangering your college student's life, you got to have a cover story. Banging somebody else is as good as anything else.
She's not wrong. I hate to agree with the motherfucker, but he's not wrong.
He is, though, because what's the next step? Either the kid dies, and that's a much bigger cover up, or the kid lives and kicks my ass for making my girlfriend break up with me. You know, it's not a good long-term solution.
What's he supposed to do? Be like, well, he's part of this project where I have people watch this haunted tape and this ghost girl comes and kills him in 7 days. I mean,
he could have just stuck to a story of, I don't know who he is. I have 200 students each class.
Right.
They're all eligible for extra credit. Are you looking to sign up?
Right. I was baffled when she went to talk to the professor in a class that large, right? Because clearly they're not going to know who the fuck Holt is. They don't give a fuck. But also in the same scene, she sees his friends that she had already seen on a Skype call and doesn't chase them down to ask any follow-up questions about where this guy is.
Those are the people she should have asked. Yes,
that's your starting point right there. Not the fucking professor who has no reason to know who your boyfriend is.
Not only that, but those two on that video call. Oh, he'd have been single as fuck if he pulled some shit like that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that's I thought the same thing, too. There ain't no way he's the...
She would have never went looking for that motherfucker after that happened.
No. Nope.
I would not be in this situation because, I would just not drive down there.
No, she hopes he's dead. She's just sitting there going, yep, I hope he is.
Cat's boyfriend guy, you better not go missing too far away.
Don't ever make me get bad
on a Skype call.
You better not fuck up that bad and then go missing.
Yeah,
oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know.
I do want to say, two nice things about this movie.
Oh, why? I have two nice things, too. Yeah.
Okay. Mikey,
how many nice things did you bring?
Did you bring two nice things?
I did them all already. I know.
Can I just throw one bad thing out real quick before we get to nice things?
One more?
Okay. Yeah, one more bad thing. The green is back. It's not as overbearingly prominent as it is in the first film, but it is definitely there. I don't know if they're trying to keep it consistent throughout the universe. They didn't bother keeping anything else consistent throughout the universe. But that green tint, goddammit, they're not letting go of that.
No, that's the money right there.
Yeah. All right, Kat, what are your nice things?
My nice things, I like the chemistry between off-brand Emilia Clarke and Holt. I think that they were not the best movie. Like, if this were a romance, if this were a drama and the story hinged on their love, I would be like, ooh, this guy. But like, when we see them together, they have good chemistry. More than the average horror movie, more than the other Ring movies. It's one thing that Rings does well. It is, I believe, in the beginning before he leaves for college. Like, they seem like a cute couple.
All right, so yeah, there's a brief scene with them together. My only thing about that was I was getting distracted because he looked like he was wearing eye makeup of some sort and it was driving me nuts. I don't know what the fuck he had.
That's your problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know eye makeup, so I don't know how to. It looked like that eyelash thing, whatever that bullshit is.
They call that eyeliner.
Mascara.
Yeah. There you go. Mascara. It looked like he had that. And I was like, why? What the fuck is going on? Why does this guy have this on? And it was really distracting.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay much attention to that scene.
That's fair. I think it was good, though. I think it was maybe the best written scene in the movie. I think maybe they were more equipped to do a romance.
They definitely weren't equipped for this. That's all we know.
Do you want to say your next nice thing, or you don't want me to go and then you can go again? How you want to handle this?
I'll say my other nice thing. Oh, okay. It's just, I, as we know, because I've been calling him Leonard, I really know the actor specifically for Big Bang Theory. He was on that show forever. Mm. It was like aggressive typecasting. I've seen him play Leonard in several other shows where he was just basically the same man. I did not like the character. I did not understand the motivations of this character. I still kind of thought of him as Leonard, but he was convincibly unhinged, I guess. Like, it was a performance that surprised me because, especially when I found out he was a professor, I thought he was just going to be playing that nerd character again. Right. And he really just was psychotic. And I kind of liked that.
Yeah,
his unpredictable behavior added an element of tension that this movie sorely needed. It was my favorite performance.
All right. I agree with that. Yeah. His performance was good and it is not a character that we see him play often, but I wish it would have not been wasted in this movie.
I would like to see that character in something else.
Yeah. My good things. There were a couple of cool shots in this movie. One in particular that stood out to me is when she discovers the research facility / nightclub thing.
Okay.
She gets off the elevator and she walks down and there's like a TV at the end of the hallway with like a camera hooked up to. I don't understand the point of it. It's like a camera's hooked up to show you. I don't understand. But anyway, there's like some sort of pamphlet or something that's sitting there. And there's a really cool shot where we see the pamphlet because she's holding it in her hand. And then we see her face on the TV screen as she's like kind of reacting to what she's reading. And that was really cool. They did a really good job with that. That was the best part of the movie, and it lasted 30 seconds. The other thing that I really did like about this movie, and it's really a shame that it's wasted on such a terrible movie, the music, the score is really good. I really enjoyed all the pieces of music that came in with this movie. It's just like a damn shame that it was wasted on this fucking movie.
I agree about the score with one addendum. I really did not like the music in the cold open. It establishes a super weird tone for the movie because it's like high paced thriller music and not like horror music, which I guess for the scene that they're having, you kind of understand why they're playing music that way. But it's just a weird note to start a horror soundtrack with, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. But I think,
other than that, though, I do. The score was good.
Yeah, I thought throughout the movie, the score was strong. It also tells you, because I've talked about this before, the score, oftentimes, if it's good, I don't notice it because it's there to enhance what I'm watching. It's not really there to stand out on its own. Usually, if there is a good score to a bad movie, I will notice it because the movie's bad and I don't give a shit. And that was the case with this movie. Like, I was really enjoying the music as I was watching this movie. It was much more entertaining to me than anything that was happening on screen at any given point.
How do you argue that? This thing?
Yeah.
You know, like, even if you like this movie, you can't argue that. That is factual. Honestly.
Well, that's all I got, though, for Rings. Those are my nice things. There's one cool shot and the score is better than the movie.
I don't got a nice thing, man. I said my nice thing already. The cold open, I don't know why Kat doesn't like it. I like that. That's it. That's all I got. I mean, and again, I like that for what this movie, if they would have went more in that, just that direction and embraced it, maybe they ended the whole fucking ending they set up, if that would have been the whole movie. Granted, these are large things to change, but that's what I'm saying. That's what it would have took to do something completely fucking different. You just did the same story with no rules for the third time. Like you said,
it might have been better if they had made a different movie.
Yeah.
And, I'll be
He's
honest,
right,
I think we all agree. If they had done a different movie, it probably would have been better.
Absolutely, man. You can't just do this. Like, you can't give me the same story for three goes in a row. You can't do it. And especially everything's outdated. It's hard, man.
There is one thing about this movie that is different than the first two. The first two are like research the movie and research the sequel. This movie does definitely sidestep that. We don't get a lot of that research boringness.
This movie is like, my friend did the research, the movie.
It's like somebody else already did the research, the movie, and I had a vision of a bird or something. I don't know. There was a bird and a flood, so we have to go to this church.
I got one more good thing, and it's
look at you.
It's minute. But that shot of Samara coming out of the TV that was on the floor, I don't know. That was cool, man. I liked it. It's minute.
It was kind of cool, except I was laughing at the idea of her doing push-ups because when she's coming up, she's coming out from underneath the TV that's laying face down on the ground, and she has both her palms and she does kind of like push up a little bit. And then I just had this, like, I was just thinking, like, wouldn't it be the ultimate power move if she just started doing like push-ups with this TV on her back to show how strong she is? But I was completely checked out of this movie by that point. Stupid stuff like that was coming to my mind.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I got, man. I'll check the notes one more time. Yeah, that's all I got. That's the thing. I couldn't take many notes on this either. It was like,
I didn't take many notes. No.
Yeah. The only thing that did not come up that's in my notes is that scene where she's like getting pinned to the table by that big burly dude. This movie lost me.
Oh, yeah.
Way before that. And he's got the bat or whatever he's got. I was staring. I was like, is this Rob Zombie? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Well, how do we get here? In all the Ring movies, even Ringu, there was no, like, white trash, drug lord-looking scene, dude. Like, how are we here right now?
Yeah.
None of it made sense, beginning to end.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
It's bad. It's very, very, very bad.
Happy birthday, Kat.
Yeah, thanks. I hope you're happy.
I am kind of, not because of Rings, but I'm proud of myself.
Good for you. God damn it. All right. Are we ready to get into reviews and facts that Rob just looked up while we were recording this show?
I meticulously researched this.
Meticulously, he said.
those Rings fans that are still listening, bear with us. Scores are going to be rough. I'm going to tell you now, that's going to be a not fun surprise. But after that, I do really have a fun surprise for you guys. So, you know, like, close your ears if you have to.
Pat said these reviews are going to suck.
The ratings are going to suck. The ratings are bad. This has an official tomato meter of 8%.
I'm going to be honest. That's really low for Rotten Tomatoes. Like, 8% is really low on Rotten Tomatoes, and it still feels too high.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The popcorn meter with 10,000 plus ratings, which that was the part that seemed really high to me, is that 10,000 people rated this casually on Rotten Tomatoes, 23%.
Wow, that's outrageously high.
And I hope that the Ring fans are coming back, because IB gave it a 4.5 out of 10, which I feel is generous. We've got a bit of a jump.
What the fuck were they thinking?
The best review title that I have is, it would be best to toss these rings.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one negative review, and then I have, for the listeners, for the big fans of Rings, I have all four positive reviews of Rings. Four of them that are 8 out of 10 or higher.
Can't believe four people believe this is an 8 out of 10
or higher movie. Four people thought this was an 8 out of 10. So, okay. But our negative review, our 1 out of 10, calls this a disgrace to the Rings history. Not much to say.
Let's not get carried away with the Ring. This is a golden standard of what movies should be going into it. All right, calm down.
Okay. A disgrace to the Rings history. Not much to say after watching the Rings. If you have seen the first two movies, then you should just skip this one. It's a disgrace for the series. Repied.
Fuck's that even mean?
What?
I'm assuming that's supposed to be period, but it does not say that. It says repied.
I got you. Okay.
Well, now, wait a minute. The question here is now, were they trying to say period or period? Because that's a thing now. The kids are saying.
Okay, well, this was left, I don't know when this was. This was left in 2017, so I don't.
Okay, yeah, probably. So. Okay.
Right. Yeah,
we got to make sure of these things, man.
Okay,
and you know they were reviews. Real smug about it too. They were like, "Period."
Well, that's them. Why I thought they were like, "Period."
Okay, but as promised, positive reviews for the fans of Rings. We didn't have many of these for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but we learned. This first one is called 8 out of 10. I don't get all the hate. I enjoyed this movie. The characters were good and it held my interest. That's the whole review.
None of that is true.
No, it's all bullshit.
Okay. This next one, not that bad. Rings is a funny third installment of The Ring. The story is similar, but set in the digital era. Some thrilling scenes and good cinematography. Not a masterpiece, but not a crap. An entertaining film.
I do think it's a crap. And also, it is technically set in the digital age. They just don't use that in any way until the last 15 seconds of the movie or whatever. So who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. It's the same bullshit that we always see.
Okay. This next one had me a little bit giggly. 8 out of 10. Not that bad as told by many. I liked the film and would see it again. No probs. It is not that bad.
No problems, Rob. No problem.
No, bro.
It is not that bad. And then we get some examples of things that it did well. Oh, and this was where I started to lose my mind. For starters, it links to the first film, has a start, has a development, and has an end.
Is this a joke review, right? Like the guy's like taking the piss out of people who like this movie or something.
Taking the piss? What are you, from fucking England?
I don't know. Why did I say that? I've never said that in my life.
Fucking English thing, you weirdo.
You know what it is? I've been reading this book about the Rolling Stones, and I wonder if I'm going to start saying like English shit now.
Most of horror movies nowadays are terrible, and this is not one of those at all. I'm sorry, it isn't. This film has structure, meaning, consistent, and there are parts where you get to be really scared. I'd recommend. Loved it. Also, not the biggest problem with this review, but I'd is spelled I apostrophe D E.
Like the Ides of March.
With an apostrophe.
With an apostrophe, yeah. Of course, yeah.
They didn't know which one it was, so they did both.
So essentially the review is, it's a movie.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it.
They liked that.
All right. I mean, I don't know how you answer that.
Okay, and then we have one more. I wanted to end on this one because it's the most emphatic endorsement, I think, of Rings. It is also an 8 out of 10. It's very, there are a lot of exclamation points. This is another where it either ends in a trail off or an exclamation point. It's 8 out of 10. Why is this movie so much hated? I liked this one.
Hold on, real quick. What, like, do we see? You know, like, do we see? It's only fucking idiots, dude. Not everyone should be allowed to review a movie. I'm saying, like, this is what you get. And they give good shit about the good movies because they're dumb. Do we have a candy bar, please, Rob, for using the internet? They shouldn't be allowed to use the internet.
I don't know if I can give them a candy bar for using the internet, but for the review, sure. Yeah.
Well, although, hang on.
Not that last one. That last guy, I don't think I that had to be a joke. I'm sorry. It just had to be. Nobody's that dumb.
I don't know.
You would see it again. No probs.
No problems.
Okay. I liked this one. I liked the scares, although there aren't that many. I liked the new spin that they gave to the Samara legend. I liked the fact that the new media was involved to spread the movie that brings up Samara. I liked the acting and the music. I don't understand the hate around this one.
Candy bar, please.
Yeah, definitely okay. A candy bar because, again, okay, it's with this bullshit of I like the use of the digital technology. There was no use of digital tech. They used a computer, but, you know, that's not the same thing. This movie, it was, like Kat said, it was right fucking there. I don't know how they didn't connect those fucking dots.
I don't either, man.
They didn't use it except for the very end.
And badly.
Yeah, and poorly. To set up the next movie that they'd ever fucking made.
Imagine being delusional and saying, man, we're going to make so much money on this movie. We got to set up the next one, man. We're going to kill this thing.
Well, don't kid yourself because they made some money on this movie. And we'll talk about that.
Fuck. Not enough.
Apparently not. Yeah, but I don't know what they were expecting to make, but they still made money. Yeah, this movie. Oh, God. All right. Are we ready for facts?
I'm ready for facts.
All right. Yeah, I spent a lot of time slaving over these facts to come up with them, research all that stuff that I did. Estimated budget was $25 million. The worldwide gross was $83 million. So,
what was the budget?
25.
Damn, they got $25 million to make this movie. That's crazy,
and that's what they made.
Damn.
And I don't know what $83 million a box office. I don't know what the marketing and stuff costs for this movie, but I would assume they made some money. It just probably wasn't what they were expecting.
They absolutely made some money, man. But like you've said on the show before, you spend more money than that budget, especially in marketing. And
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what they spent on marketing and stuff. So but I'm assuming that they made some money.
So that $83 million is less than how it seems. Yeah. So they were $25 million. You expect to make a lot of fucking money. Yeah, not enough.
Yeah.
Although they can't have spent that much money on marketing. I found out the day that it came out that it was a thing.
Well, they did a good job.
The rule of thumb used to be, and I don't know if this still applies or not, but you take the production budget and you double it. And that's basically what it would cost. So in this case, they would have spent $50 million and brought in 83. Right. You know, so they were probably expecting a bigger return than what they got. There is no Danza in this movie. So
stop fucking. Is it really worth, honestly, is it really worth every, like, however many weeks in a row saying no Danza to finally pop one? Can we not?
You know what it's worth? How irritated you get every time I say
because fuck, bro, man, we don't need to do this. We've done enough.
Naomi Watts' character from the first two films is never mentioned by name. However, it does appear underneath one of the icons on Gabriel's computer in a brief shot. So they're really tying it back, keeping the lore going.
Cool. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. All of the flashback footage featuring Samara was simply unused alternate takes and shots from the first film. So they just pulled those back up and finally got use out of that shit, I guess.
Well, thank God.
Is the first film in the series that makeup effects were not done by Rick Baker. He had worked on the previous two, but retired from the movie industry in 2015.
Smart guy.
And honestly, I don't think the effects were ever all that great in these movies. I'm kind of surprised Rick Baker did them.
Samara always looked great, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest, yeah, you would expect better, yeah.
Back when the film was announced in 2014, Paramount had initially wanted the film to be in 3D.
Oh,
can you imagine?
They bring the money in. It would be kind of ironic, though, honestly. Like, that's kind of creepy. Dude, to see, like, if they would have did that, granted, it wouldn't age well, but it would have been better than this, you know? Like, maybe market it like that. I don't know, man. But, yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but this was filmed in Atlanta.
You were really excited. That's how you know when Rob starts listing stupid shit like that, there's not much for trivia.
Yeah, we got two more. The cicadas, a plot element not featured in the first two films, is a reference to the Japanese myth of the cries of a cicada, which was supposedly a bad omen for tragedy that's about to strike. And finally, the translation of the Braille mark on Julia's hand is clearly spoiled in the trailer for the film when Burke states the mark on your hand means rebirth, a line that's never actually spoken in the film. Why they would do that, I don't fucking know.
That's amazing.
I like Rob's ad libs. I don't fucking know.
So that is trivia for Rings.
Okay. We gotta give this thing a score.
Yeah. I would like to go last. I have a feeling I have the highest score for this.
Your surprise is by a
wide margin.
No more surprises, please. Cat gives it like a 7. You have some ready, Rob?
Yeah.
All right.
This movie's awful. It's really bad. It's awful in a not entertaining way. It's really just dull and nobody gives a shit about what's happening. It's so boring. The only thing that I liked about it was the score, really, and that one shot. And both of those combined are only good enough to give it a 0.8.
All right. Yeah, I can't go that low. And I can't go that low based on... Like the cinematography was there. It wasn't there like in the first film, obviously. But, you know, like they did a good job with that. So it's not like it's a poorly made movie. You know, like so much effort went into it on that end. And they, like as a technical film, technically made. I don't want to go too high, though. And my other thing, like the real pulling force here is Samara herself. And she looks great. She always looks great. Like, they make sure to get that right, man. And at least they didn't really fall out. I mean, there was a couple shots where she didn't look the greatest. But, you know, she's still... I don't feel she ever looked bad, you know? I'll give it a 1.6. How about that?
Wow, doubled my score. Okay. Look at you.
Yeah, 1.6. What you got?
So I do have the highest score, but not by as wide a margin as I thought. Because you went a lot higher than I expected you to go. And actually, when you were talking, I was like, oh, shit, Mikey's going to have the highest score for this.
Hey, man, they had $25 million. They get somebody who knows how to use a camera. They ain't getting too many points for that.
I actually was going to go lower until I checked back at previous Portnoy's to kind of get a reference for like these low, low scored movies. And I gave this a 1.
Oh,
because I like it just a little bit better than two movies that I gave a 1.8 to. And those movies, for the record, are Blair Witch Book of Shadows and Jason Goes to Hell.
I would watch both of those movies twice before watching this one again.
I would watch this one by just a little bit. So I felt contractually obligated to give this a 1.9. When it was just one, I was like, oh, well, we haven't done our Portnoy adjustment. I can still go, because I was thinking like a 1.5 for this. But then when I saw that they both had a 1.8, it's like, no, I've got to go higher.
I love that we're in a world where Rob hears 1.9 and goes, God damn.
For this movie? Nah. The biggest failing of this movie is just how completely, utterly fucking boring it is.
And I just want to throw this out there in keeping in line with like how my Portnoy's are evening out. That was also my biggest complaint about Paranormal Activity 2, which got 1.9 from me.
That's ridiculous.
Come on. You gave this the same score as the fucking haunted pool cleaner.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it like that, asshole.
The scariest thing ever to be filmed. I don't know if you know this, Kat, but the pool cleaner was in the pool.
And I will say, I almost bumped it up to a 2 just so it would be a little bit higher than Paranormal Activity 2.
But that's ridiculous.
But I do feel like Paranormal Activity 2 did more original things to the best of their ability.
Rob gave that movie a 3.1. Come on, man. That's high for Rob, but I mean, that's still way higher than a what? God, that's crazy. Paranormal Activity 2 is really good. I cannot wait. Soon we're going to do Paranormal Activity 3. Enough is enough. And also, that's the only one. Honestly, though, you guys are a little fucked. Well, it's one more movie, but ours, we have a Paranormal Activity for Shark movie deal, Kat and I. So I love Paranormal Activity 3 is probably my favorite one of the franchise. But so that's where I'll cut off this deal. And I think I really want to watch 4 again because I don't remember it that well. And I don't remember if it was, I don't know if 3 was the last one or not. And I get into the Paranormal Activity thing.
4 is really bad. Imagine.
Mikey, don't say that you want to do this too soon. You've been complaining that our rankings are tanking because we keep watching Ring movies. If we watch Paranormal Activity 3, that's going to be a little bit of return for Raiders of the Lost Shark or whatever I come up with. Shark Side of the Moon, maybe.
Hey, man, the Paranormal Activity movies are popular, especially that third one is, you know, widely recognized as the best one, I think.
I'm just saying.
2 or 3. Either way. You said 4 is really bad, Rob? I don't believe.
4 is really bad.
We got to do the Portnoy rework on Patreon soon.
Anyway, guys, I have bad news. This week
because we didn't have anything else planned.
We should have done it this week.
Didn't think of it. We don't choose when it comes, Rob. We talked about this.
I have really bad news for my birthday episode. Rings is not slasher radio approved, guys.
Man, that is crushing.
I know. It's just 6.1 points short.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's Rings. Can this be the last one for crying out loud, please?
Urban Legend, also not slasher radio approved.
You better not. When we do the Patreon rework,
neck, though.
Don't you touch it. And I'm not going to touch mine either. That's how it's going to stay, and you got to live with it.
I'm not messing with it. I'm fine.
All right, don't touch it.
I offered on the show, and you said no, and that was it. That was the end of it.
I don't want it. I would like to vote and put it through a motion for vote. That movie can never be reworked, the score for that movie. It's that you have to live with that forever.
All right, that's fine.
All right, fine. Asshole. Patreon.com/radio. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Go support the show. Our Portnoy list with all the scorings for this movie will, I'm not going to say by this week, but it will eventually be public, probably only to patrons. So, you know, maybe we can make I don't know. I got to figure out how to use Excel better, but you know, get involved, man. We try and be as interactive as possible. Extra show.
I can make up a spreadsheet for us if we need one.
Don't touch it. You also get the show ad free too. I've seen people bitch about ads. Patreon, you get them ad free. Lowest tier gets them ad free too. So, you know, I don't want to hear it. You TikTok, Twitter @radio. Give us a follow on there. And I'm at Mikey's Dead. You're not forgetting something. A Patreon show next week too. So we have a Patreon show next week. We don't have a like solid schedule, but we did tell Greg we would do a hot take episode soon.
Okay.
So, you know, in the next couple of weeks, we'll, you know, start dipping our toes in that water.
Preparing.
Yeah. Mentally sighing what we need to do internally to prepare for that. But yeah, so
I think after the Patreon episode next week, we're probably going to have to come up with a banger.
Yes.
For the following week. And then maybe
there's a very real chance we're watching like Statico 3D or Ringu 2 next week.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, here's an idea, patrons. Maybe you could help us out a little bit and pick a banger and then, okay. This is purely up to the patrons, right? I feel like this is a good idea. We could have a, this sounds awful. We could have a banger off.
Nope.
Now hold on. Listen, I know how that sounds.
Don't break my balls. Did he all of a sudden? Nope.
This is not a freak off, I swear to God. But much like we do with the Christmas episode every year, where the patrons pick a holiday episode, we pick a holiday episode, a movie, and they go head to head, and we're honest about who the winner is. Did we win last year?
If the patrons win, so. Mikey, we will watch Statico 3D willingly.
No, that's not on. That's cannot be on the table. That defeats the purpose.
I don't remember who won the Christmas thing last year.
I don't remember. It was a bit that we always lost for a minute. So
I feel like we lost last year, but I don't remember what movie we picked. I don't remember the movies. We definitely lost the first year.
Yeah.
We did.
Embarrassingly, we lost. Too. Yeah, it was bad.
And you guys won't listen to me and pick the surefire winner. So
what's surefire winner up?
Santa Slay featuring WWE superstar Bill Goldberg.
I hate you so much. But yeah, how about we do that? The ball's in the patrons' courts. If you guys pick a banger, we'll pick a banger. And we'll see. Maybe we'll put a vote up somewhere or something. I don't know. But let's see if you guys can
out-banger us. We'll also choose a
ring. Cat! Cat is wilding out on her birthday.
God damn! We're trying to do something here.
I'm sorry. I opened the third cut water. It was a mistake.
Yeah, it was.
It was, motherfucker.
The motherfucker. Yeah, so get involved, man. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/radio. Try and get some good movies in there, man. If you love us, try and do it. Come on. That would be a good idea, too. A little bit of incentive. And the year is closing out. So that means, believe it or not, guys, the slashies are going to be here before you know it.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're going to have to start preparing for that.
Yes, and we do give out an award for most wins on the Patreon or something. So come on, man. Come on. Let's all collectively here. Jeez. And yeah, I think that's it. Rob, where are they finding you?
You can find me on Twitter at RadioRob123. And you can listen to the other show that I do with Kat, the Nick fucking Woo Cagecast. That is Nick F and Woo Cagecast in your podcast players. And we just released our episode on Tress, and we've got one coming up on Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Can I request? I know I'm banned from the Nick F and Woo Cagecast, but can I at least like put in like a request?
You can put in a request.
All right. Can you not talk about my butthole this episode?
I can't win with you. I can't. No, talk about my butthole. I talk about it. You complain. And all I said never. This last time was that I wasn't allowed to talk about your butthole anymore.
In turn, you were talking about my butthole.
I cannot win over there. I swear to God.
No, the point was I wanted you to talk about a butthole. And not my butthole.
Your butthole is a butthole.
But not much. Don't talk about mine.
And also,
makes me subconscious.
Your complaint was that I acted different over there than I do here. Here I talked about your butthole. So there I talked about your butthole. Follow the logic, Mikey.
Yeah.
Kat, don't let him talk about my butthole again. Stop pressing charges on you guys. I can't control
what he does.
Jeez. Kat, where are they finding you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kat_Velour, VOLEUR. You can check out my website, katvelour.com.
Good night from Slasher Radio.
Also, Kat, you just put out a new book. You're not going to mention the book?
Oh, no, it's fine.
All right.
Don't find it. Listen, I can remember to put my book on the website, or I can remember to plug it on the show. It's a lot to ask me to remember to do both.
I feel that. Stop talking about my butthole, though.
You're not the boss of me.
Talk about some other butthole. Or, you know what? Fine. Butthole point proven. We'll do this again another time. Stop.
Well, Kat, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy Jesus birthday, Christ.
Kat. We're leaving her with butthole talk, dude. What kind of shit is this?
Who keeps bringing it up? I was done with the buttholes.
Mr. Kat's boyfriend guy told us to be nice to her. You got to bring up buttholes.
I'm always nice. What do? I lift people up.
I'm getting out of here. I got to get away from him, Kat. Happy birthday.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.